Welcome to the Mariners Cast, presented to you by Sports Ethos, your place for worldwide sports coverage. I'm your host, Tino Canasius. You can find me on Twitter at TinoJr20 and the podcast at Ethos Mariners. It is Friday, April 26th. The Mariners are coming off winning 2 of 3 from the Texas Rangers. Mariners have now won 5 of their last 6. They sit in first place in the AL West at 13-12, half game up on the Rangers, 3 games up on the Los Angeles Angels, 3.5 games up on the Oakland A's, and 6.5 games up on the vaunted Houston Astros, who are 7-19. The Mariners are 7-3 in their last 10. This is a team rounding into form. Starting pitching has been very good recently. Relief pitching has been lights out. Julio's getting his timing back. Jorge Polanco is showing signs of life, hitting the ball hard. Mariners are getting pretty consistent production from Cal Raleigh, Ty France, and Mitch Haniger. And the bit players like Luis Urias and Josh Rojas are contributing. This was the blueprint that Jerry Dipoto and his front office put forth for Mariners' success in 2024. The baseline, the heartbeat of this team is elite starting pitching. And the Mariners are starting to get that, as evidenced in this Texas Rangers series. The relief pitching has been great. Despite Gregory Santos and Matt Brash being out, two pitchers who were expected to carry the 7th and 8th innings for the Mariners in relief, the Mariners' relief pitching group has been very good. Ryan Stanek has been shaky at times, as he was last night. Andres Munoz certainly is not at 100% as far as his performance, but the Mariners are getting great left-handed relief from Gabe Spire, and other relievers are contributing with the Mariners right now. So this team looks great. They are building towards something. We haven't seen any production from Mitch Haniger yet, no production from Luke Rayleigh, little production from Jorge Polanco. Julio Rodriguez has not started hitting for power yet, despite hitting about 280 right now, but 276, excuse me. But they're winning. They're keeping their head above 500, and the Mariners are in first place. So this has been a lot of fun these last couple of games. I'm going to dig into the last 2 games for the Mariners before previewing the Arizona Diamondbacks series. So Mariners on Wednesday won 5-1. This was Bryce Miller against, lost 5-1. This was Bryce Miller against John Gray. It was very interesting to me that the Mariners started so many right-handed bats against John Gray, who is a primarily fastball slider pitcher and historically has had platoon splits to the tune of about 100 points, higher average versus left-handed bats. Mariners started Mitch Garver at DH, Dylan Moore at short, Sebi Zavala at catcher. We later learned that Cal Raleigh had a busted tooth, and that's why Sebi Zavala started. I would have also liked to have seen Jonathan Clase in this game. John Gray went 4 2/3 innings, gave up 1 run, 7 hits, 7 strikeouts, which is a very strange line. Bryce Miller kind of imploded in this game, 4 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 4 walks, 5 strikeouts. He gave up 2 home runs in this game and 9 hard hit balls in 4 innings. Not the greatest performance from the Mariners. Josh Rojas hit at the top of the lineup. He went 2 for 5. Ty France, 2 for 4. Dylan Moore, 2 for 3. But the Mariners end up losing 5-1, as I said. Not the greatest game from this team. Bryce Miller's stuff was fine. I do wonder if he gets a little nervous at times pitching at home in Texas. He threw 21 splitters, 32 fastballs, 17 sinkers, 10 sliders. So nice pitch mix. Velocity was there. Spin was there. Just wasn't able to locate as well as we've seen from him. Only 8 whiffs on 39 swings, which is 21% whiff rate, below league average and below his average for the year. So Bryce Miller was not as sharp on Wednesday as we've become accustomed to this season. Taylor Saucedo, Tyson Miller, and Austin Voth came in to pitch the remaining five innings or four innings, excuse me. They gave up a couple of runs together, but just kind of a blah game from the Mariners. Mariners lose 5-1. The Mariners made a move prior to this game. J.P. Crawford went on the 15-day injured list with a kind of a tweaked oblique. That's the kind of injury, especially with baseball, where you're twisting, swinging the bat, throwing the ball, moving side to side at shortstop, where we could see, certainly see J.P. Crawford out for a little bit. It's not good. I think that because he hasn't been performing well offensively so far this season, I don't know that the Mariners are going to miss his production in the lineup. He does play a consistent shortstop. We did see Dylan Moore make an error last night on a routine ball. So the consistent defense at short is something that the Mariners will miss. The big impact to me is if the Mariners are going to hit Julio Rodriguez in the leadoff spot, which they did last night against the left-hander. We might see Josh Rojas leading off against right-handed pitching, but that does change the complexion of the lineup a bit when Julio hits at the top. And I think that is as significant of a shift for the Mariners as J.P. Crawford being out and taking his offense away. So Crawford is on the IL with an oblique. Cal Raleigh did come back last night to play, or yesterday to play, with the busted tooth. He said he's never played in so much pain before. Being someone who had an incredible tooth infection last week, and I'm getting a tooth pulled next week, I get where he's coming from. That's not fun. I can't imagine playing baseball feeling like I did last week. The Mariners brought up Leo Rivas, who is a 26-year-old minor leaguer. He's a switch hitter. He's a shortstop. He was in the Angels and the Reds organizations previously. He can really play anywhere on the infield, but with the Mariners, he has been a shortstop all but one game in the field since being in the Mariners organization. Rivas, his calling card offensively in the minor leagues has been really elevated walk rates. In Double-A with the Mariners last season in 436 plate appearances, he ran a 19.7% walk rate and a 20.4% K rate. This year in Triple-A so far, 16.7% walk rate. He plays a very solid defense at short. Here's the deal with Rivas offensively. A hitter like Rivas with very little power to speak of, he's never hit more than six home runs at one stop in the minor leagues since 2015. Very little power to speak of. That walk rate won't carry over in the major leagues because unless he can hit for a high average, pitchers are not going to be scared of him, right? Pitchers are not going to nibble with Leo Rivas. Pitchers are going to kind of pump strikes and dare him to be able to make significant contact with major league pitching. And so I would expect Rivas to really struggle offensively. This profile doesn't work in the major leagues anymore. Major league pitchers have learned a below average power, below average impact sort of hitter like Leo Rivas, who runs a high walk rate, you can challenge. You just challenge them and you say, I dare you to hit this over the fence. I dare you to do something with this because you can't. There's no reason to throw a hitter with that little pop a strike or a ball. And I think that's what we'll see. But he will provide very good defense at shortstop when he plays. You will see greater range from him than we do from Crawford and Dylan Moore. I think that could have an impact. He should make the consistent plays. His ceiling as a major leaguer is as like the 26th guy on the roster as that utility bench player. But he's getting his shot with the Mariners. The Mariners put Gregory Santos on the 60-day disabled list as the corresponding move to open up a spot on the 40-man. I do think that with a player like Rivas, we could see him here for a couple of weeks and then maybe never see him again in the majors. But he will play a role, as I said. Santos on the 60-day, I believe that's retroactive to when he went on, so it's not that big of a move. People were speculating that it might be Sam Haggerty coming up, specifically because the Mariners were facing some left-handed pitching. But shortstop is not Haggerty's natural position. I, for one, am thankful that it wasn't Haggerty, because I think we would have seen some defensive blunders potentially. But, you know, as the Mariners showed on yesterday, they put Dylan Moore at short and appear to be comfortable with Moore at short. So if Moore's at short, Haggerty would have played in the outfield against left-handed pitching. Obviously, that didn't happen. People clamoring for Ryan Bliss. I like Ryan Bliss offensively. I think that Ryan Bliss's eventual major league home is second base. His arm is short, and his arm is way too short for the left side of the diamond. The Mariners have played him at shortstop in AAA a bit. I think he's a second baseman in the bigs. And I don't think it was the right timing, nor do I think Ryan Bliss can play much shortstop. Jorge Polanco came up as a shortstop, 130 games at short with the Twins in 17, 142 games at short in 2019, but then started to make the transition to second base. The last time he played shortstop was in 22, six games. Josh Rojas played 43 games at short in 2021, hasn't played since. And Luis Urias played 22 games or 24 games at shortstop in 22. So those guys have kind of outgrown the position, don't have the range or the body type necessarily anymore to play it. Maybe Rojas does, has some of the quickness, but they weren't good options at shortstop either. So Rivas comes up. We've seen Dylan Moore play shortstop in the last two games to replace JP Crawford. That's what's going on there. So the Mariners lose, as I said, to the Rangers on Wednesday, 5-1. Bryce Miller, uncharacteristic. I call it a poor start. He four hits, four walks, two runs in four innings. So we really saw yesterday's game, game three of the series against the Rangers, as the pivotal game, is the rubber match. Winner of this game takes the series, takes over first place. I know it's early. It was Luis Castillo against Andrew Heaney. Castillo coming into the game was 1-4 with the 4.40 ERA and a 1.36 whip, but has been much better as of late. You look under the hood with Luis Castillo coming into yesterday's game, you realize he's actually pitching pretty well. He's not locating, and so it looks really ugly when you're watching when he's off. But the batting average of balls in play was 392 coming into this game. He's getting a lot of bad luck on batted balls. The left on base percentage was 69%. That's just below league average. So he was letting more runners score than league average. Typically, once they got on base, there's some luck involved with that as well. The walk rate was 4.1%, which is elite. The K rate's 29.3%, which is near elite. And the K minus BB is 25.2%. When I'm looking for one of the metrics I look for immediately when I'm evaluating pitching is K minus BB. And if it's above 20%, you're in business. Luis Castillo, 25.2%. And his Sierra, which is the ERA type advanced stat that I like to use to assess kind of a pitcher's true performance, is at 2.77. So Castillo has been pitching well. The interesting thing about Luis Castillo this season is that the four-seam and slider, which he throws a ton of to right-handed pitcher or right-handed hitters, have been very good, right? A 100 average against the slider, 265 average against the four-seamer, but expected batting average of 194. But the sinker and the changeup have been bad. Sinker's surrendering a 524 batting average and a 460 expected batting average. The changeup, 389 average against the change. So he's really two different pitchers. He was sinker changeup with the Reds. He's four seam slider with the Mariners. Obviously, you want to see him incorporate all four pitches. He needs the changeup against right hand or left handed hitters. But definitely a big division between those pitches. Andrew Heaney, left-handed starter going for the Rangers, hasn't really been that good since his 22 season with the Dodgers. He's 0-2, 6.35 ERA, 1.41 whip coming into this game. Really a big drop in velocity this season, 90.9 on the fastball. He was 92.5 in 23. He was 93 in 22. But fastball slider for the most part. And it's hard to pick up, right? It's a fastball with really good shape. And so we've seen some pretty good performances from Heaney. So Mariners come into this game. Mariners end up winning 4-3. Took a 2-1 lead in the first inning. Rangers tied up 2-2 in the fourth. Mariners score two in the fifth. Rangers score one in the seventh. Ends up a 4-3 victory for the Mariners. Julio Rodriguez led off in this game against the left-hander. He went 2-for-4, scored a run. Not accessing that power quite yet, but you're starting to see him hit the ball hard, often, and he's up to a 276 average. Ty France hit a really strange home run off a fastball up and away from Heaney. He hit it out to right field. Looked like the ball was carrying in Texas quite a bit. That was his first home run of the year. That was a two-run shot. And then Dylan Moore had a double that scored. And then Luis Urias hit a two-run homer. Urias doesn't look athletic. Urias plays an inconsistent third base at times. There were some questions about his arm. He had a really nice pick in this game, but he can hit lefties, man. And I don't think that's a small thing, right? So we saw him hit a bomb off of Heaney to left field in this game, and it proved to be a pivotal hit. Offense is looking okay. Mitch Garver's continuing to struggle. Polanco hit some balls pretty hard, but the Mariners' offense produces just enough to win this game. Luis Castillo was a struggle bus at times. Six innings, four hits, two runs, two walks, six strikeouts. He did give up two home runs. Velocity was there. He was up on the fastball, 0.7 miles an hour. Slider at 85, sinker at 96. He got 15 whiffs on 42 swings. That's a 36% whiff rate. That is over 10% above league average. So again, Castillo didn't look great, but when it mattered, he came through. He did settle in the middle innings a bit, but it wasn't, it wasn't perfect 100% Luis Castillo. His stuff was a little bit all over the place, and yet again, six innings, two runs. So he's just a horse, and he's so consistent. And I know his first couple starts this season weren't great, but the reality is, you really can count on Luis Castillo to keep you in the game. Ryan Stanek came in the seventh. He was shaky. Two hits, gave up a run, a couple of strikeouts. Gabe Spier came in to save the day against Corey Seager. He pitched one in the third inning. Spier has looked lights out, honestly, 0.90 ERA. He went one and a third, and then Munoz came in and pitched that last inning. Mariners take the series, take the game, half game up on the Rangers, as I said. The Mariners welcome the Arizona Diamondbacks to town this weekend. It is Zach Gallen against Emerson Hancock tonight. Arizona has an extreme advantage pitching-wise in this game. Zach Gallen is a top 10 pitcher in baseball and probably a top five pitcher in the National League. A little bit underrated because you don't see the explosive fastball and the explosive stuff, but Gallen has been very, very, very good over the last couple of years. Hancock, as we've said, I think every start that he has is potentially his last start for this stint with the Mariners because of the lack of elite stuff and the inconsistency. But obviously he will get this start tonight. Gallen is this season 3-1 with a 3 ERA and a 1.30 whip. But for, you know, just to take a look, in last year he was 17-9 with a 3.47 ERA and a 1.12 whip. He threw 210 innings and had 220 strikeouts. In 22, he went 12-4 with a 2.54 ERA and a 0.91 whip. In 194 innings, he had 184 innings, 192 strikeouts. So this is a dude, right? Zach Gallen is a dude. And the Mariners have their work cut out for them in game one against Gallen. The Mariners are probably looking to get five innings from Hancock if they can, keep him in the game, hope the bullpen can keep Arizona down. Then you come back against the Arizona Diamondbacks bullpen. On Saturday, the matchup, so Arizona has not declared who they're starting. Mariners have George Kirby going. That's obviously advantage Mariners in that game. So that's a 6:40 start. It's on FSN or FS1. Showing FSN, showing my age. And then Sunday is Brandon Pfaadt, their top pitching prospect last season, against Logan Gilbert. Mariners have an advantage there as well. So would not surprise me to see the Mariners drop game one against the Diamondbacks, just because Zach Gallen is such an elite pitcher and Emerson Hancock is going for the Mariners. But the Mariners have the pitching advantage in games two and three. So taking two of three from Arizona would be awesome. Offensively, Ketel Marte, Christian Walker, their second baseman and first baseman are both hitting very well. They have nine homers between the two of them. Lourdes Gurriel is hitting 300 with an 852 OPS and five home runs. Eugenio Suarez, welcome home. Eugenio has not been hitting well. He's kind of in the same zone as he was with the Mariners last season. But really the story offensively with the Diamondbacks is that Corbin Carroll, their rookie of the year last season, Seattle native, Lakeside High School graduate, has really scuffled. And, you know, I know there have been some tweaks to try to have him make some more contact and hit some line drives this season. He also has a shoulder issue that he's dealt with for a couple of years now. But power outage with him, 244 or 208, 321 on base, but only a 260 slug. Good for a 581 OPS so far this season and one homer. So Corbin Carroll, who is a very much a 30-30 candidate, only has one home run so far. And again, we don't really know if that's an injured shoulder or an approach issue. Last season, he had 25 homers and 54 stolen bases. So Corbin Carroll is kind of the stir that straws the Arizona Diamondbacks drink, and he has not been hitting at all. Diamondbacks come in 12-14, 3.5 games behind the Dodgers, 4-6 in their last 10. Should be a fun series. It's always fun to see a team that we don't get to watch much. The Diamondbacks were in the World Series as the National League representative last season. This is a team with some talent. And it'll be really interesting to watch Zach Gallen pitch on tonight, because he is a very skilled, enjoyable pitcher to watch. So this was today's Mariners cast. I believe it is Mariners cast number 131. I will be back certainly on Monday with the Mariners cast. And then if you choose, we will be recording a Seahawks 360 with Candace Hagans on Saturday to recap the Seahawks draft. Byron Murphy, the second, being picked as their first round pick. I love give Mike McDonald what he wants to build that defense up. It's going to be a lot of fun. So again, your first place Mariners take on the Arizona Diamondbacks this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Super fun. Really kind of despite George Kirby and Luis Castillo's struggles in the beginning of the season, no production from Mitch Garver, little production from Jorge Polanco, a scuffling Julio Rodriguez. The Mariners are still in first place. These are good signs. This is a lot of fun. I'm excited to watch this series this weekend. Thank you for listening to today's Mariners cast from Sports Ethos. Once again, you can find me on Twitter at Tino Junior 20. That is TinoJr20. And the podcast at Ethos Mariners, ETHOSMARINERS. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy basketball playoffs if that's your thing. Enjoy the NFL draft if that's your thing. And certainly enjoy your Seattle Mariners. Take care, y'all. Peace.